This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
On Thursday's Front Page, BP is setting up a $20 billion compensation fund, but BP Chief Executive Carl Henriks Fonberg is denying reports BP took shortcuts on the rig that exploded back in April, setting off the leak. There are signs the military in Kyrgyzstan took part in the deadly weekend rampage that targeted Uzbek minority neighborhoods, and the real estate market is taking another hit, this time from buyers looking for the perfect home and the perfect deal. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. On Wednesday's Front Page, President Obama announced BP will set up a $20 billion fund to pay damage claims for the leak in the Gulf. Kenneth Feinberg, who oversaw compensation for 9/11 victims, will be in charge of the Gulf Fund. The White House and lawyers for BP had been negotiating for 4 days. The president sealed the deal in a private 25-minute session with BP Chairman Carl Henriks Fonberg. Mr. Obama used his speech on Tuesday to call for a clean energy future in the wake of the oil spill. Times reporter Jeff Zeleny looks at the prospects.
They're trying to use this moment as a time when people are paying attention to the energy problem, specifically because of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. But the speech, that portion of the speech particularly, was met with some pretty fierce resistance from Republicans on Capitol Hill. Even many Democrats are not supportive of the broad outlines of this energy legislation going forward. Don't look for a quick passage of this. The White House would like to see some movement on this in July, and then perhaps the Senate could reconcile the bill that the House has already passed on energy sometime after the election. But a tough road ahead on getting this policy through.
Times reporter Jeff Zeleny. Africa's Niger Delta region continues to endure oil spills blamed on poor regulation, poor maintenance, and sabotage. The Niger Delta has absorbed the equivalent of an Exxon Valdez spill every year for the last 50 years. The oil pours out nearly every week. That's a big reason why people there are astonished at the attention that's focused on the gusher half a world away. There are signs the military in Kyrgyzstan took part in a deadly weekend rampage. It targeted Uzbek minority neighborhoods. Police in the capital of Kyrgyzstan appear to be cracking down after 4 days of ethnic violence in that nation's second largest city. The police detained more than 100 people on suspicion of causing unrest, but there were no disturbances reported in the capital. In this country, it's a buyer's market, and home buyers know it. Preliminary data indicate the housing market slipped last month after the government's $8,000 tax credit expired. In some places, sales dropped as much as 20% from a year ago. Glenn Kelman of the online broker Redfin says it's as if buyers learn their moves from the World Wrestling Federation. He says the final smackdown is when buyers demand last-minute concessions. For the seller, the alternative is putting the house back on the market as damaged goods. A German drug company says it has a product that could amount to Viagra for women. Critics are saying the company is trying to turn low libido into a disorder that can be treated with drugs. The company's promotion campaign includes a publicity tour by soap opera star Lisa Rinna. All this is leading up to a meeting set for Friday when a federal advisory panel will review the company's claims about its pill. We'll go inside Thursday's Times after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out the service. One book to consider is New York Times bestseller No One Would Listen, A True Financial Thriller by Harry Markopoulos. The Audible edition includes a bonus chapter of testimony from the victims of Bernie Madoff and candid comments from the Inspector General of the SEC. That's No One Would Listen, A True Financial Thriller, now available from Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
Inside Thursday's Times, questions about whether Iraq can defend its borders with Iran. Iraq has been pounding remote mountain villages with air and artillery bombardments, driving out Kurdish villagers. Iran says its bombing campaigns are aimed at Kurdish guerrillas who strike in Iran and take refuge in Iraq. The only confirmed casualty has been a 14-year-old girl. In Thursday's Business Day section, federal prosecutors accused the former chairman of one of the nation's largest mortgage lenders of masterminding a fraud scheme. The government says Lee Farkas of Taylor, Bean & Whitaker schemed to steal $553 million in federal bailout money. Prosecutors say he ran an elaborate shell game that involved covering up Taylor Bean's losses by creating fake mortgages and passing them along to unsuspecting investors. Taylor Bean's problems led to last year's sudden failure of Colonial Bank Group. It had been Taylor Bean's main source of funding. The workers who went on strike in China are tech-savvy. Their labor revolt runs on text messages and video uploads. They've also tapped into a broader communications web that lets working-class Chinese share strategies. So far, they seem to be outwitting official censors. They're trying to build broad support for what they call a war against greedy corporations and their allies in government. In this country, 8 music publishing companies are taking the file-sharing service LimeWire to court. The charge is copyright infringement. Last month, a federal judge ruled against LimeWire in a somewhat similar piracy case filed by a coalition of record companies. High schools are saluting graduates who opt for boot camp over college. Recruits are being given a place of honor alongside the valedictorians and scholars at graduation ceremonies this spring. Some parents and anti-war groups are questioning that, saying public schools appear to be endorsing the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. A security clearance and a union card are musts at New York's newest restaurant. It's a Subway franchise sandwich shop. It's on top of the steel structure for the skyscraper being built at Ground Zero. It can be taken apart and put back together a few floors up as the building rises. The contractor is hoping to save time. In a building that size, a 30-minute lunch break can stretch beyond an hour because there's only one hoist to take workers to and from street level. Also in Thursday's New York report, the city's former chief crane inspector was sent to prison for taking bribes. James DeLeo apologized in court for falsifying inspections. He also said crane inspectors don't deserve the bad publicity he brought on. He said they do a difficult job despite an impossible workload. DeLeo pleaded guilty in March to approving cranes he hadn't actually inspected. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.